Teacher Tuff, thank you for the tea. Whoever read. Okay, so today we're going to try to the Kitzer cover maybe three Prakim. It's a little difficult because the Prakim are all interrelated. So as I said before, you know, the Alter Rebbe says something and you try to explain it, and that's what he's going to say in the next Perek. Just to give Pachet Pshat in Perek Aleph is already what he says in Perek Bey. So, by definition, anytime you read virtually any sentence and you try to understand it, you will be saying over what the Alter Rebbe is going to say in the next Perek. So that's going to happen here as well. If you remember what we were looking at in Perek Lamed Gimel, this is the part of the Tanya generally that is dealing with Aveda B'Simcha. And what he talked about in Perek Lamed Gimel was the concept of recognizing Einoid Novadai, that there is no Metzias other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that doesn't just mean there is no other God, but it means there is no other reality. That just as before HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Hashem was everywhere and was everything, so too, even after the creation of the world, right? We say in davening, Atahu ad shalai nivra ha'olam, Atahu mishe nivra ha'olam. And therefore, nothing has changed. In reality, therefore, everything is God. And whatever that means exactly, as you know, that was a big controversy with the Baal HaTanya and the Gra. But nevertheless, the concept is, at a minimum, this means the tremendous closeness you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the ability, as it were, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a level that cannot be perceived by any other entity. And that itself should give a person a tremendous, tremendous simcha, that no matter what difficulties they are going through, no matter what struggles, the kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unbelievable. And just as one would have a tremendous simcha if a melech or a president were to come to their house and say, I'm honored to be your guest, kal v'chomer, that we become a mishkan, we become a dwelling place, we become a merkava, we become a chariot for the Shechina. Now, in Perek Lamed Dalet, which I think we touched upon at the very, very end, the additional point is made that on one hand, we have a phrase in Chazal that the avais, hein hein ha-merkava, the avais, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that includes the imos, are their merkava, they are the chariot for the Shechina. And he writes that in the avos' life, there was not a single second that they were not mekusher to the Ribono Shel Olam. Every single second of their lives, they were mechuber to Hashem, they were davuk to Hashem. And this is true about the Nevi'im later, although not in the same madrega. And then he says, Moshe Rabbeinu is Eila al Kulana. Can people sometimes discuss who is greater, Moshe Rabbeinu or the Avos? The Baal HaTanya happens to say Beferis that Moshe Rabbeinu had the highest level of all, that Moshe Rabbeinu was so mizdabek with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Shechina midaberes mitoch krono shel Moshe. That God's voice literally came out of Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. That is how much fusion there was. Now, it's Yadua, the Drushas Haran writes, that why was Moshe Rabbeinu a kvad peh, kvad lashon? Moshe Rabbeinu was a stutterer. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't talk, and it was actually very, very severe. The way they explain it, like half of the aleph base, he could not enunciate. Elamai, but whenever he gave mitzvahs, and it was Shechina midabereth mitaych greinai, it came out very, very clear. So the Drushas Haran says that people shouldn't think Moshe Rabbeinu was a god, that they should know that only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking through him do the words come out clearly. Moshe Rabbeinu as a person was a balmum, he was chaser. The only thing is, it's interesting that the Gra says, you know, one of the kashas, and even in Pshat in the Torah, is how to view Sefer Devarim, right? Sefer Devarim is different than the rest of the Torah. The rest of the Torah, the narrative voice is a third person. Hashem spoke to Moshe, which makes sense if Moshe is simply taking down dictation. But in the book of Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks in the first person. Hashem spoke to me. And there is really a fundamental question. Are the book of Devarim Moshe Rabbeinu's own words? We generally say that every single word in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu put down was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Book of Devarim seems to be his own words. Now, this raises two different questions, really. Number one, there are some mitzvahs in Devarim that don't appear anywhere else in the Torah. Is a person supposed to assume, chas v'sholem, that Moshe Rabbeinu added mitzvahs? So that for sure is not the case. Even if the Book of Devarim are Moshe Rabbeinu's own particular words, the Ramban already writes, the shteitzach, we have to assume that every mitzvah he communicated was al pi Hashem, right? That's not such a difficulty. But the question becomes, are there his words? Did Hashem dictate those words? Or are they Moshe Rabbeinu's own words? So the simple pshat is that of the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, and this is really pashat pshat in understanding the Torah, you have to differentiate between the words that were said and the words that were written down. For example, the Torah has many quotes of different people. The Torah quotes Paro's words. The Torah quotes Lavan's words. Now, did Hashem tell Lavan what to say? Did Hashem tell Paro what to say? No. These were their own words. They decided what they wanted to say. God, Hashem knew, etc. And when we say that every letter in the Torah is Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaiveya, which of the many things Lavan said or Paro said, which of those things should be written down? And maybe they were exact quotations, maybe they were not exact quotations. So the Rabbanel says, when we say, Kol HaTorah Kula Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is referring to the writing down of those words. Avada, when the words were said B'Shas Maisa, they could have been people's own words. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaveya, what to write down. So Memela, the Book of Devarim, the Rabbanel says the same thing. Meaning, in the rest of the Torah, Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lamor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the words that Moshe should say. So B'chol HaTorah Kula, Moshe is saying the word. Well, Moshe said other things too, but what is recorded in the Torah, at least Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Lamor, is Hashem told Moshe, say these words. In the Book of Devarim, the month before Moshe Rabbeinu died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, say it your way. You, as the teacher of Am Yisrael, say what you want to say to Am Yisrael. So the words that Moshe Rabbeinu says in Sefer Devarim are his own words. Hashem did not tell him what to say. They are his own words. Aye, but every word of the Torah is Mipi HaGevurah. Yeah. Not a single word that Moshe said would be written down in the Torah unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to write it down. Moshe could have said many more things. Moshe could have said twice as much as is recorded in the Book of Devarim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, these are the words. So the Abarbanel says, and really it's a matter of common sense if you think about it, that the Kol HaTorah Kula Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not refer to when people said it, unless it says V'Yidaber Hashem El Moshe Lamor, it refers to when people wrote it down. And that is, or when, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it down. And that is the meaning of the Gemara in Megillah, that Kol HaTorah Kula is Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Sefer Devarim is Moshe Mipi Atzmo, but says the Abarbanel, that just refers to his Amira, it does not refer to the Kasiva. Yeah.
Does the Abarbanel have any indication as to whether what was said what ended up getting written down was an exact quote? He selected the parts he liked the best, or whatever that would mean, or they were paraphrasing of what was actually said? Not that it might make a difference.
I don't know. He doesn't say clearly. I mean, but obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the course of his life, said many things. And not everything is written down in the Torah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaveya, what is written down in the Torah. Obviously, this gets us into a whole other philosophical discussion. The Torah was 2,000 generations before the world was created. Obviously, Hashem knew what was going to happen, etc. And nevertheless, the Torah is a document that incorporates human bechira, meaning to say, yeah, the Torah was Kaidim Libriyas Ha'olam, but Moshe didn't know that he would, you know, turn down the Shlichas five times until it happened. Right? So the whole Torah, even though it incorporates future events, was still open to the bechira of people in the course of life. And if they would have chosen differently, I mentioned that the letters of the Torah would have taken a different form. In other words, that's what I mentioned, I think, B'Shem the Gra, that the concept of the Torah is black fire on white fire just means the icy ice were there, but they were not yet divided into words until the events occurred. Yeah.
Is there a difference between pre-Matan Torah, or at least pre-Matan, where Moshe certainly didn't know that he was going to turn down the Shlichus, and perhaps afterwards, right, Sefer Devarim, after he had received whatever he received on Matan, before he would have known the course of history at that point, including what he was supposed to say.
Here's another thing that I think we need to understand. The idea that Moshe got the whole Torah Bahar Sinai, many interpret that to mean the 613 mitzvos, not the narratives. Moshe didn't necessarily know about the Meraglim and Korach, and certainly Bnei Yisrael for sure didn't know. Otherwise it would make no sense. The whole Meraglim was what, a play? You know? Okay, you ten guys, or, you know.
You'd have a bigger question with the punishment.
Yeah, right. I mean, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. So obviously the notion that Bnei Yisrael got the Torah Sinai is referring at most to mitzvos, not to narrative structures. Okay. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is the Gra says, given the fact that the words in Sefer Devarim are Moshe's words, Hashem did not tell Moshe the words to say. These are Moshe Rabbeinu's own words. So says the Gra, B'chol HaTorah Kula, when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us the words of Hashem, it is Shechina Midaberes Mitoch Grono. Masha'en came, when Moshe is saying his own words, it would be his natural voice that would be speaking. It would not be Shechina Midaberes Mitoch Grono. This is what the Vilna Gaon says, and that is the meaning of Moshe Rabbeinu Mipi Atzmai Omran, as opposed to the rest of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu Pi Agvor. So I'm just wondering, I mean, according to the Drashas Haran, that Moshe's speech impairment was so severe that basically half of the Aleph Beis and he couldn't articulate. It's hard to understand how people understood Sefer Devarim unless you had Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono. Okay, that's not Makasha. But be it as it may, the Alter Rebbe is not going into those Chilukim. The Alter Rebbe is just using Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono. And again, I mean, the basic idea is fine, but the exact repercussions are difficult. The concept of the fusion, and again, this has repercussions in later Chabad, the concept of a person being so mechubber to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he literally becomes one. Can you understand the danger of that type of idea? But on our level, we can just understand this as a great, great, extreme devekus of the highest madrega. And again, you understand how everything goes back to the problem of tzimtzum. Like the Gra is Hashem withdrew and enabled us to exist. The Baal HaTanya learns tzimtzum is only a mashal, and in reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in every place exactly the way He was before the creation of the world, and tzimtzum is only a mashal and a dimyon. In a sense, we are just an illusion, or we are just a reflection of divine energy. You understand the problem. The problem is pantheism. The problem is everybody is God. Okay. Yeah. For purposes of understanding the Tanya as a practical work of Avodas Hashem, which I think is more useful in many, many ways, as opposed to a thorough exposition of theoretical Kabbalah, we actually don't have to be machnis ourselves into the prate-pratim, although I think it's important to at least be aware of the shaila in this area. But the ikar, hayaytzei min hadvarim, is the notion of hiskashrus to the borei olam, which should give a person a tremendous amount of simcha. But now the Baal HaTanya just ends with, this is going to be the end of the section on simcha, so to speak. He ends with the problem, okay, these are the Avos, these are Moshe Rabbeinu, these are the Nevi'im. But I can't, I don't have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. What is that supposed to be? So here he gives what actually would be very, very similar, very similar to the Nefesh HaChayim in Shaar Dalet, at least in part. And he says the following. He says, the emes is, at Har Sinai, the Jewish people also experienced the tremendous revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this revelation was so powerful and so overwhelming that they became nisbato b'metzias. It mentions that every single commandment, every time Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, porcha nishmasan, the neshama left their guf, they died. They died. They could not physically exist. Because when you truly are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you understand Ein Od Milvado, then you become like the light of the candle in the sun, in which that light simply loses its sense, loses its existence as a separate Messias. So that is why, he says, that the matzav of Matan Torah by definition could not be retained, because that wouldn't have been shayach. Moshe Rabbeinu was unusual. He could keep his Metzias and at the same time be Dovek and Hashem. For most of us, this Dovekus and Hashem would mean we would cease to exist. And therefore, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Mishkan. This is a whole different take. That the Mishkan was a place where Hashem was Mashre His Shekhinah in Am Yisrael. But by doing it in the Mishkan, that kind of enabled us to maintain the separateness of our existence. Now, we don't have a Mishkan today. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. So what is the place that substitutes for the Mishkan? So he quotes the Maimer Chazal, Ein l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamo ela arba amos shel halacha. God does not have a place in this world except in the four amos, that means the limited area, the small area where people are learning halacha. See, it gets interesting. Halacha, halacha dafka, learning Torah is the way it seems to be understood. Now, the Baal HaTanya touches up this way. The Baal HaTanya touches up, Hashem gave us a Mishkan as a means of being Dovuk Bishchina without destroying our existence. When we lost the Mishkan, so Hashem no longer has a place, so to speak, where he's Mashre Shechina. So the substitute for the Mishkan, that's what it means. Ein la Kadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamo ela dalet amos shel halacha. So when the Jew learns Torah, he is dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same way the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash was there. And he says, actually he says this in Perek Lamed Vav, a little weiter, and he says that because the Torah is called Oz, Koach V'Oz, Oz meaning it gives you the ability to remain alive in spite of the Gilui Shechina, right? The Torah makes you strong enough to maintain your yeshus, to maintain your existence, even though you have the Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he makes the point that every time a person learns Torah, he is making himself Ushpazichan Lishchina. Ushpazichan, the Ushpiza, the inn, the dwelling place for the Shechina. But then, of course, he raises the issue, okay, but you know, many people are busy with Parnassa, many people cannot learn all day. So what's the story about that? So he says, you do the best you can. It's interesting that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is very fascinating. There's actually, it's not really a stira, but like two opposite teachings of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. One teaching of Shimon Bar Yochai, I think we've mentioned a number of times, is the famous machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael on how do you interpret what it says in Kriya Shema, that if you keep the mitzvahs, V'yasavta tikonecha, you will be able to gather your grain. So Rabbi Yishmael says, oh, we learn out of there, there's a heter of Parnassa. You're allowed to be Isaac in Parnassa. And it's not Bittul Torah if you're trying to make a living to support your family. That sounds reasonable. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, are you crazy? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, a person is going to be choresh. He's going to plow when it's time to plow. He's going to harvest when it's time to harvest. How is a person going to learn Torah? And he makes the amazing proposition that the statement that you will gather your grain is when Am Yisrael is not doing the Ratzon HaMakom, and the Mela, they have to be Isaac and Parnassa. But if you're truly doing Ritzonai Shel Makom, your Malacha will be done by others. Now, Tosos asks the obvious kasha. What do you mean? V'yasavta d'ganecha is b'zman she'ein Yisrael, the Torah says, v'haya im shamoa Tishma'u el mitzvosai. So he means, avada, they're doing mitzvahs, but they're not living by the highest standards. It's oisin v'ein oisin. Meaning, the highest madrega, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, is your mamish, mevatel yourself lagamri to the Torah. You make no calculations of parnasa, no calculations of ishtadlus. You simply say, I will learn the Torah Hashem, and the Eibishter will take care of me. By the way, that goes beyond going to Kailo, because Kailo, you know, you work out a check. He's taking a madrega where I mamish, do not make any hishtadlis at all. Things will happen. Now, the Gemara says, Taka, many people followed the path of Rabbi Yishmael, and they were matzliach. And many people followed the path of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and they were not matzliach. And the Gra says, and the Shulbir Agra says in the Shulchan Aruch, that it's mashma that for the harbe, for the masses, we should follow the midah of Rabbi Yishmael, but there are yechidei skula who are capable of living on the madrega of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Who is that yochid and who is the rabbim? I will leave to your own individual determinations, as it were. The one thing we can say is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai seems to be a kitzoni in which he says the true derech of Avodas Hashem is your mafgir yourself legamri to Avodas Hashem, which with no thought of Parnassah, and indeed, it actually worked for him. He was in a cave for 12 years, and during those 12 years, there were fruit trees that grew, and the birds brought him. He says, it worked for me. It can work for anybody. So that's one part of his legacy. Another part of his legacy is Mamish Fakert. He says, if a person reads Kriya Shema, right, the Torah says, right, Vegisa, or not, no, it's not the Torah, it's the Pasuk in Yoshua says, Vahagisa bo yomam balayla, you must learn Torah day and night, and that's kind of the definition of Talmud Torah. So Zakt Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Afilu Laikara Ela Kriya Shema Arvis V'Shachris. All you did was you read Shema, which is from the Torah, in the morning, and you read Shema in the afternoon, you are Yotzei, the Pasuk, for Hagisa V'Yom
HaBalayla. Minimum.
Yeah, so now he's a minimalist. He says, he said Kriya Shema. Of course, you have to understand what you're saying. You're not Makayim Torah without understanding, but you understand what you're saying? So that's Talmud Torah too. So the emes is, even Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is makir, that just to be yaitzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you're yaitzei with very little. So the Alter Rebbe says that avada, a person has to learn as much as they can, and in fact he wrote a whole chibur, which he refers to here. And by the way, this is, whether you're Chabad or not Chabad, the Alter Rebbe's kuntres on Hilchas Talmud Torah is considered to be, by everybody, the definitive kuntres on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's mamash a very, very classic work. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. In the Shulchan Aruch Harav, in Yoredeya, there's a very short siman on Hilchas Talmud Torah. In the Shulchan Aruch it's very short, and the Alter Rebbe also is very short. This is a separate sefer of around, it's probably around 80 pages or so, which is called Hilchas Talmud Torah Liadmor Hazakein, and this is a very, very, very chashuv sefer that all achreinim who talk about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah base a lot of it on the Alter Rebbe's discussion. So he was not a slouch when it comes to the importance of Torah learning. He basically, in fact, even negates people say, he says, oh, people say it's impossible to know the whole Torah. He says, no, it's not impossible. He says, and he talks about exactly, for us it actually sounds impossible. He says, you know Tanakh, you know Shas, you know Rambam. He says, you know the whole Torah. He says, now it's true that there is no end to the depth and the understanding and the Havana. But in terms of Yediyah Satayra, the basic Yediyah Satayra, he says, that has a gvul, that has a quantity, and a person has a responsibility. In fact, one of the great, it's not a chiddush of his, but one of the great points he emphasizes a lot is that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only kailel, the process of learning, it is kailel, the process of knowledge and retention. There is a mitzvah of knowing Torah and not only learning Torah. If it would be learning Torah, so I could sit with the same daf my whole life and, learn it. If you have to know Torah, then by definition you have to branch out. And this is based on what Chazal say on the Pasuk, Vishinantam Levanecha, which literally means you teach your children, but shinun is also a lesson of sharpening, that divrei Torah have to be mechudadin b'ficha, they have to be sharp and clear in your mouth, that if somebody asks you something, you're able to answer them without kind of being mesupik, right? So there's yediyas haTorah, and this is something that it's interesting, you know, this is an interesting point. You know, this is, you know, in Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it's fascinating. And listen, obviously Reb Chaim Volozhiner had Yediyas HaTorah to an unbelievable level. I mean, it would be stupid to maintain otherwise. But it's interesting that the Nefesh HaChaim, he does not emphasize Yediyas HaTorah. He emphasizes like sitting and learning, kind of just spending the time. I see much more discussion of Yediyas HaTorah in the Baal HaTanya and in the Hilchos Talmud Torah than I even see in the Nefesh HaChaim. Now obviously, this is the Grad of Chaim Volozhiner, they knew everything. But it's interesting that the ethic that they chose to emphasize was the time that you put into learning as opposed to the amount that you know. Now maybe, if that has been misunderstood, maybe that has had some negative repercussions in the yeshiva world over the years, where for many, many years, Yediyas HaTorah was not emphasized. Again, it was a big tais in misunderstanding, but it could very well be that because the Nefesh HaChaim B'Dafka does not make a big issue of Yediyas HaTorah, maybe that kind of was why the yeshivas went off in that in the pathway that they went up. Well, now I think it's Achshir Dara. Sometimes you actually find that Dairis improve in certain ways. I think things are going back. Rav Shach already wrote, I once came across the volumes of his Igris, like four volumes of Igris, and I'm reading along, and I keep on telling myself, gee, didn't I read this letter already? The truth is, Rav Shach wrote the same letter a million times about people are going too slow, they're not covering Masechtas, they don't have Yediyas, they're going to be on Maratzim. It was come out the same letter that was written 100 times. So Rav Shach was fighting about it a million times, and you see in Mir, other places, there's a whole emphasis on both covering ground, on Chazara, on Bechinas. These are relatively new things. The sense of being Kaina Torah, being Kaina Chalakim of Torah. You have chaburis in Zerayim and chaburis in Tyrus, which are really in this pocket. Many, many chaburis now in Seder Tyrus that was neglected for so many years. So I think in some ways, I'm not sure exactly why, but in recent decades at least, there's been a renewal of kind of mastering, getting ideas, etc. Yeah.
So the yeshiva today that learns their six or seven mesechtas, it's obviously very different than how Volozhin operated.
That's
so
correct.
They had one shir that covered all of Shas, and that was, they just went forward.
That's correct. Well, that's 100% correct. It could be Rav Chaim didn't have to talk about Yediyas HaTorah because it was so pushit. People had Yediyas HaTorah. There was nothing to talk about. But what I'm saying is, the fact that he omitted it may have had repercussions for the yeshivas later. Things that were so pushit it didn't have to be said, you know, now need to be said. Yeah, Volozhin was an 11-year cycle. Started Brachos, ended with the last staff of Nida. That means they didn't. They covered a little less than a blot, you know, because Daf Yomi would be 7.5 years. And it was interesting that during the greatest years of Volozhin, this is when the Nitziv was the head Rosh Hashiva, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was the junior Rosh Hashiva, and they didn't have two different shiurim. Basically, it was one shiur, and they alternated days. So Rav Chaim had to continue whenever the Nitziv left off. Rav Chaim had to continue. But that's a good thing. And it's brought down. It's, you know, if Rav Chaim didn't have a big chiddush on that particular those particular lines, he would give a 10-minute shiur. He would read like 10 lines in the Gemara with Rashi. The Emma says to hear Rav Chaim explain a Rashi would be very kedai as well. I mean, I can assure you it would be a wonderful day. I remember from my own Rebbeim that sometimes Rav Kluski and just Neri Israel, I would remember sometimes just to listen to a big Talmud Chacham just just translate a Rashi, just whatever. You can learn quite a lot. So from someone like Rav Chaim, you could learn quite a lot just from the way he would read something. Even if he didn't even translate, just the way he, which words he emphasized or whatever it would be. But still, it was brought down that Rav Chaim sometimes only read 10 lines of Gemara for 10 minutes and then said, that's the end of the shir today. See, the Nitziv always had a shir. The difference is, because the Nitziv's derech was a great, great Bekiyas derech. So if you're learning a Gemara, so the Nitziv will bring in the Tosefta, the Yerushalmi, the Sifri, the Mechilta. So there was always something to bring in, because the Nitziv had this amazing Bekiyas in all of the Torah. Rav Chaim's derech was more analytical, more lumdisha, so he didn't have a chiddush necessarily on every single sugya. So he gave a small share. But nevertheless, you're 100% emes, that in Volozhin they finished Shas.
Was there lower shiurim, or is it just Volozhin was one shiurim?
No, there were lower shiurim. There were introductory shiurim. I think one or two introductory shiurim before that. Now you can imagine, again this is digressing a little bit, but you can imagine that some Talmidim very much gravitated to the Nitziv, and some Talmidim very much gravitated to Rav Chaim. So Rav Kook was very, very close to the Nitziv, and indeed, in a lot of ways, Rav Kook was a kindred spirit to the Nitziv. Number one, Rav Kook's own derech in his tshuvas is a very bekiyistic derech of bringing in a lot of things. Also, the Nitziv was a Zionist, and the Nitziv was relatively moderate in terms of chachmas chitzonius and the like. Rav Chaim was, number one, a big kanoi against Zionism and against any type of secular studies. So it's interesting that Rav Kook gravitated to the Nitziv. Rav Shimon Shkup, initially was much more makuriv to Rav Chaim, a more of a deep analytical derech. But it said that, and in fact, some people even thought that Nitziv was too, the way yeshiva guys are, they're sometimes cynical, he's only bekiyas. But they have a maisa that Rav Shimon was once in the Beis Medrash as a bacher, late at night, and he was trying to steig over a difficult Rashbam in Baba Basra. And the Nitziv used to show up. The Nitziv lived right next door to the Beis Medrash, and the Nitziv used to show up like every 2 hours. He just loved to see the bacherim in the Beis Medrash. So he goes over to Rav Shimon, who's just a bacher, and he says, "What's anything troubling you?" And he says, Rav Shimon told him the kasha that he had on this Rashbam and Baba Basra. And the Nitziv said to him, "When I was your age, there were many, many days that I fasted to be zocha, to understand this Rashbam. And I was mishtateach. I went to be mispalel, the kever of Rav Chaim Volozhiner," who was the Nitziv. Nitziv married Rav Chaim Volozhiner's granddaughter. And Rav Shimon realized then the Avas Torah that the Nitziv had, and the Mesiras Nefesh, and how he would literally not eat or drink if he didn't understand something. And that changed his whole perception. The Nitziv wasn't just this guy who knew Toseftis, but he saw Mamesh, a person whose love of the Torah was unbelievable, and that was Mishana, his whole Gisha, towards the Nitziv. But okay. But be it as it may, that the Balatanya does make a very, very big point about Yediyas HaTorah, because remember, he connects it with the idea that the Torah like enters your brain, and therefore your brain surrounds the Torah, and it is surrounded by the Torah at the same time. So he says, you do what you can, but then he makes the interesting point to follow. He makes two other points. He says that at least the fact that twice a day you are an ushpazicha, you are a lodging place for the Shekhinah, that should give you a tremendous simcha. And then, he says, based on the principle of machshava taiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzaref l'maisa, a good thought Hashem treats as a deed, if even when you're working your machshava is, I wish I could learn more, I wish I would have more time, that is your desire, that is your cheshek, the Eibishter considers you to be learning mamish at that time as well, because that is your mind, that is your cheshek. Now they tell the story about a businessman who was a big Talmud Chacham, and every second he could learn, he was learning. And he was so successful in business. Customers were coming day after day. He mamish became a big gevir. So he was nifter. So his son had a cheshbon. If my father, who spent every minute learning, and really didn't even like when customers... Sometimes you see this in Yerushalayim sometimes. I don't know if you ever... The old Yerushalmis sometimes, if they have a store or something, and they're learning or saying to him, they almost, like when you come in to buy something, they're almost annoyed. Like, you know, why are you bothering me? I'm trying to learn, you know. So the son figured, if my father, who didn't even like customers coming, was able to be so matzliach, I'm going to devote myself lagamri to the business, and certainly I'll do much better. So what happened was, the guy started devoting himself to the business, and the business collapsed. Nothing happened. So the cheshbon was, the father who was learning and steiging, so there had to be a yetzer hara to take him away from learning. So the only thing the yetzer hara could figure out was send him a lot of customers. Says, you're not learning anyway. I don't need to send you customers. You know, you'll do the bittul Torah without the customers. So the Baal HaTanya says that if your loyalty, if your heart, if your cheshek is to be connected to Tiras Hashem, and that's really what you would want to be doing, there is a bechina of machshava teiva kadosh baruch hu mitzaref l'maisa. But the Baal HaTanya makes the obvious point that only works if that's what you would do when you're free. Meaning if the pshat is, when I'm free, I learn. Then when I'm not free, there's a bechina of machshava teiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaref L'maisa. But if when I'm free, I'm not using that time, then I can't have credit, so to speak, for the time that I'm working, because I no longer have machshava teiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'maisa. He then talks about, and this is something the Baal HaTanya talks about a lot, that he emphasizes the mitzvah of tzedakah many, many places. In fact, in the Tanya he mentions it many places, and he mentions it in the Igris, right? The last part of the Tanya, not the last, the next to the last part of the Tanya is called Igeres HaKadosh. Why is it called Igeres HaKadosh? It's really Igros. These are 25 or 26 letters that the Baal HaTanya wrote to his Hasidim. I don't know why it's called Igeres. They have a pilpul on it. It's really Igros. And in the Igros HaKadosh, he talks about tzedakah tremendously, that this is the way of emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, through tzedakah as well, since you are following the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is mechaber you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, and even though you're not giving all of your money to tzedakah, because the halacha is, you're not supposed to give more than a fifth, but the fact that out of your work you are giving a fifth, that is mala, that elevates all of your economic activity as a vehicle for Avodas Hashem. He gives a dimyon like this. He says that the Gemara says, Gadol tzedakah yaiser min ha-korbanes. Tzedakah is even greater than korbanes. Now, Kabbalistically, what korbanes does is, you bring an animal to Hashem and you sacrifice it. That elevates all of the animal life to a higher level of holiness. I bring a mincha offering, which is grain. That elevates all of the grain that people eat and drink to a higher level of holiness. Memela, tzedakah is the same thing. If through my work I produce the tzedakah of a chesed, that elevates all of my work. In other words, it's not just, 20% of my work time was spiritual. It now becomes 100% of your work time. And then he says, moreover, if you use your time to learn Torah, then all of the money that you're earning, all of the food that you're eating, they all contribute to enabling you to serve Hashem. So the eating and the drinking and the earning all becomes the ruchnius, the way that you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the concept is, again, this is a practical point. I mean, remember, many of the Hasidim, just like people today, many of the Hasidim were people who had to work very, very hard. They did not have a lot of time, so to speak, for Avodas Hashem. And the Rebbe is basically telling them that with all of your working to support your family, to be machzik Torah, to learn Torah, to give tzedakah, you are elevating the chashivas of 100% of your time, because all of that is utilized as a mechanism to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as well as the idea of Machshava Teiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitztarei Lemaisa. Now the Rebbe's walking a little bit of a tightrope, that's why he goes back and forth there, because on one hand he's saying, when you have the time, you got to use it, meaning, don't use this as an excuse. But Mimela, if you're stuck, you should look at your Avaida itself, your physical work itself, as an eifen of Avaida Hashem, in which you become the Merkava, the dwelling place for the Shechina. Now the emes is, without some of the Kabbalistic language, this is a point that the Rambam himself makes. This is directly in the Rambam. On the Kol Ma'asecha, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Ma'asecha Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim, all of your deeds have to be L'Shem Shemayim. So the Rambam says that this does not just refer to mitzvahs. This does not just refer to the mitzvahs have to be done for Hashem, but it refers to eating, drinking, sleeping, taking vacations. All of these things, that if a person has kavana, that I'm eating and I'm sleeping, and even if I'm going on vacation, in order to have strength and serenity and relaxation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the etzem eating and sleeping and vacationing become your chelek of Avodas Hashem. You know Hashem, you connect to Hashem in all of your derachim. In other words, the Mishnah in Avai says, Kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim, and the pasuk in Mishlei, that is the makor for the Mishnah in Avos, is b'chol derachecha, derachecha da'eyu, in all of your ways, even in milei derishos. The emes is, even before the Rambam, the Chayvas HaLevavos says this. The Chayvas HaLevavos says, we tend to think that things are in three categories. Either something is usur, or something is chayav. Either I'm not allowed to do something, or I must do it. And then we think there's a middle category, which is, you want to do it, it's okay. You don't want to do it, it's not okay. The Chayvas HaLevavos says, no such thing. Something is either a mitzvah or an aveira. There is no such thing as something optional. Because if you're using it in Avodas Hashem, it becomes a mitzvah. And if you're not using it for Avodas Hashem, Memela it's an aveira. And again, the Baal HaTanya said much earlier as well that even Devarim of Rishus, when you're not doing it L'Shem Shemayim, are the Yanika, the Chiyas, comes from Klipa, and it takes you away from Hashem, right? It takes you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's making the point here that the Beinoni who has to work and the Beinoni who has to struggle, he should not feel that he's Rachuk Mi Hashem, that he can use all of that work and all of that struggle to give tzedakah, which is mala, everything that he earns, to support Torah, to learn Torah, the food that he eats and drinks, gives him strength and ability to do mitzvahs and to learn Torah. And, of course, overall, though, the main ishpazichin l'shechina is Talmud Torah here, because ein la kadosh baruch hu b'yaylamai ela dalid amai shel halacha. So b'kitzer, he's making the point that even the working person can be the ushpazichan, the dwelling place of the Shechina. And the emesis too, again, if you look in the Mesilas Yesharim, the Mesilas Yesharim has all of these madregos. The lowest madrega is the Hirus, which basically means you're keeping the whole Torah perfectly. that's where the Mesilas Yesharim starts off. And it ends with a madrega called Kedusha, the unbelievable high level of Kedusha. And the Ramchal writes at the very end of the Mesilas Yesharim that the madrega of Kedusha is attainable, whether the person is a Talmud Chacham who learns Torah all day, or whether they are a storekeeper who works for his parnasa the whole day. Each of them has the potential to be Kadosh. In fact, it's interesting that I think in one prat, I think the Ramchal would be cholet and the Baal HaTanya. Because the Baal HaTanya, the whole Sefer Shel Beinonim is based on the idea that you can be so dovek to Hashem, but you still have this animal soul that has ra in it, and you'll never be able to get rid of it. unless you're a tzaddik, but the Beinoni is always able to be misgaber over the Ra. You're not going to destroy the Ra, but you'll win over it. It seems that the Ramchal's definition of Kedusha corresponds more or less to the Alter Rebbe's definition of a tzaddik, and the Ramchal says Kedusha is attainable by everybody. He does describe it as Techilasa Yaveda. It starts off as something you're working for, Saifai Matana. The end is a matana, and indeed the Balatanya also says, Lif'omim, the Beinoni will be given a matana, that he's zaycha to the Madrega of a tzaddik. But it seems, according to the Ramchal, that if somebody puts in the requisite steiging, he will, Hashem will give him a matana. So in that prat, there is a chiluk. But the notion that even the chedveni, that is Isaac in Parnasa, has the ability to become kadosh, in Davut Bishchina, that, as I say, is in the Chaimus Al-Vavas, it's in the Ramchal, in the Mesilas Yesharim, and of course it's in the Tanya. Would the Nefesh HaChaim say that? Again, I'm not sure. Now, the Nefesh HaChaim might still have the idea that if you didn't put in the hours, you may have the best intentions of the world, it's just not shayach to have that Dveikus Bashem without the Talmud Tariyah.
So in terms of the equating of the person who is putting in the hours and really achieving the person who's working, but whose thoughts and actions and everything is directed correctly,
yeah.
In all of the sources we've seen, how much of that is divrei chizuk, and how much of that is a true equation, in the sense that, let's say, the fee, the mashal that Balatanya brings about korbanos,
yeah.
The ola offering is still the highest offering.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to know. I mean, again, I have to operate with the assumption that the Alter Rebbe is not just writing to make people feel good, and that he believes, although it's always shy, but, you know,
it's a practical
saver, but he's saying what he's saying what's emes. He's saying what he believes. And, you know, this was the Shita. But again, the Alter Rebbe, you see, is very, very emphatic that he's not giving people a pass. If they're able to learn, able to steig, and they decide not to, I'll be from in another way. He's saying that's not going to work. Ein la kadosh baruch hu b'yolamai ela dalam shel halacha. Elamai, we are mitzaref the idea of machshava tova. Hakadosh baruch hu mitzaref lamaisa. Okay. Yeah.
Just one of the information. One.
Yeah.
What you just said about the shem shemayim and the kabbalah says that Kedusha has under ashamru.
Yeah.
You're sitting, even though you may want to have ice cream sometimes for the pleasure of it,
right.
If you're sitting in the dining room in the yeshiva, as you're eating, you're saying, this food will give me energy so I can learn better. So have in mind that's a very...
Yeah, it is something to say. Now again, I know it sounds funny, and one shouldn't automatically be conspicuous about this. You don't have to come in and make a speech. But it's a nice thing to think about. And I would tell people, even when you go to work, you say you're working, you know, say to yourself every single day that I am going to work to be able to support my family, to give tzedakah, to be able to learn Torah, to make a kiddush Hashem, to give the Ribbono Shel Olam nachas. And that kind of meditation changes the very nature of your work. In other words, you can have two people working side by side. Each of them is putting in the same hours. Each of them is not learning for the same amount of time. And for one person, this is an Avedas Hashem. And the other person, it's not. You know, they tell a story. Now, this story comes, again, it probably is not, it's not a Medrash. And it probably is not a Jewish story. It probably was a Christian story. But they tell it in Christian, Muslim, Hindu, and Jewish versions. So I'll tell you the Jewish version, but again, it comes in many different varieties, many different flavors. About three stone cutters who were cutting, no, they were breaking up stones from morning to night. So each person was asked, how do you describe your life? What is your life about? So the first guy said, well, I get out of bed 6 o'clock in the morning, I just break up stones from morning to night. And then I come home, I have a piece of bread, and I just roll into bed, and then I do the same thing over and over and over again. His life is unending drudgery, unending labor, unending suffering, with no end. The other person says, every morning I go with the intention of giving my family income and parnasa and bread so that my children will have a better life than I have and a happier life. And that gives me strength to go ahead and do what I'm doing because I know that I'm laying a foundation for a happier family in the future. And the third person, because apparently they were breaking up stones for a beis medrash or a shul, or in the other religions, something else, and he said, every rock that I break, I am giving honor and glory to my God and my Creator. And that gives me simcha. So three people are doing exactly the same thing. But the meaning of what they're doing is totally different, and that changes their lives. Right? The third person has a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he's breaking the stones. So your thoughts create a different reality. Externally, it may be the same thing. But internally, it's a totally different type of pa'ula. So going to work itself can be a totally different thing. I'm not sure to mention here in another share. Rabbi Lapiansky from Silver Spring, very, very chashuv, Talmud Chacham. He wrote a book recently. It's called Ben Torah for Life. It's an interesting book about how to remain a Ben Torah even though you're back in the workplace or college or whatever it might be. As opposed to kind of saying you're a failure and you're not doing anything with your life, he's really going over the ideas that we're talking about tonight with a lot of practical suggestions. The concept of seeing Avodas Hashem in every single thing that you're doing, and that's a very important idea. That's b'chol derecha. It goes back to the Rambam and the Chavos HaLevavos. B'chol derechecha da'eyu, and kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shamayim. In fact, Mishpacha magazine had a whole, I don't know, it was last issue or 2 issues ago, was about this theme. It's a big interview with Rabbi Lapiansky plus a lot of other people. Of course, they're going to get flack on it because people will say, oh, that's anti-Kola, whatever. In Eretz Yisrael, there's always a tightrope here in Eretz Yisrael because the more you talk about the potential for Avodas Hashem when you're not in Kailel, so people are going to take it as an attack on Kailel, which it isn't, which Avada it isn't. And then they're going to say, oh, you're trying to attack Kailel and encourage people to work. Better that they should think if they leave Kailel, their lives are worthless than to say that there's a way of living a meaningful life. Okay, that's an old problem that we have here in Eretz Yisrael. The truth of the matter is, Kailel is wonderful. A person should learn as much as they can. And indeed, even the Baal HaTanya, who says that your working can be Avodas Hashem, but he says, if you're able to learn more, you have to be able to create a life where you can learn more. But as I say, any time in Eretz Yisrael, you try to show how the other derech can be good, it's sometimes perceived as an attack on the other way. Okay. All right, so this is Perek Lamed Dalet. Again, it's a practical perek, and again, as I say over and over again, although some of the Kabbalistic teachings are controversial, the simple yesaitis of chizuk are pretty practical, and we can work with them. Now, Perek Lamed Hay begins a whole new section of the Tanya, and really it goes over many, many chapters. So it's as I said before, it's not shayach really to isolate a single perek, but he goes over the idea of why does Hashem make beinonim? In other words, in a sense, you're born to failure. Because you have this animal soul. And no matter what you do, that Kayach of Ra is going to be in you because you don't vanquish it. At most, what you do is you take over the Levushin. Again, remember the vocabulary? You have the animal soul, you have the godly soul, but the soul has three garments, the three Levushin of the Nefesh. The three ways the Nefesh expresses itself are Machshava, thought, Dibor, speech, Maisa, and they are done through the human body and its organs, including the brain, and that is called an Ir Katana, that is called a small city, a small country, and the two souls are vying who gets control over the Levushin. So the only victory we give the Beinoni is you get the garments, you get the clothes. You can make the decision that the Machshava, Dibor, and Maisa will be connected to the godly soul. But that Ra, that enemy, is going to be in you. You're never going to get rid of that enemy unless you're a tzaddik. The Beinoni struggles. So the big fundamental question is, what's the point? Why did God take a godly essence that was totally pure, put it in a lowly world of struggle, where the koach of Ra is never going to be vanquished? Like, what is the tachlis of this? So he begins his explanation, which will take many, many chapters, but he begins his explanation with a very, very beautiful, this passage itself is very beautiful, from the Zohar in Parshas Balak. And this is the Yanuka. Now, the Zohar has interesting characters. You know, we know the Zohar, it's makubal by us that the Zohar was written by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That's not universal. Even Rav Yaakov Emden felt maybe it was written later. And as you know, in the academic world, there's a recurring debate, because the Zohar was not revealed until the 1200s by another makubal, Spanish makubal, Rav Moshe de Leon. He claims it was a manuscript, etc. So there's still a debate going on and on and on. Is it Rav Shimon Bar Yochai or is it Rav Moshe de Leon? Of course, today it almost makes no difference because Rav Moshe de Leon is already before the Ramban. You know. So it's not like a new thing that came out yesterday. Either way, one thing I will say though that you do have to know, it is a Dover Pashut that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai did not write every word of the Zohar, because it's a Dover Pashut that there are statements in the Zohar from Amayraim who lived after him. So just like, and that's not Apikorsis at all, just like Sefer Tehillim, David HaMelech is the main author, but there are kapitlech of Tehillim coming from other authors. The Gemara itself says that. So when we say, even if you say the Yesod of the Zohar is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that's not a steer to say other people added things later. So the Zohar has many characters who are also anonymous. There's the Saba, the unnamed old man of Parshas Mishpatim. And in Parshas Balak, we have the opposite, Yanuka, the wonder child, like a little kid, we don't know how old he is, who has all of these insights. And these people are not given names, and we're not really sure, are they meant to be real people, or are they meant to be Mesholim, you know, kind of a dramatic character to communicate certain ideas. But the Yanuka is one of the anonymous characters in the Zohar, who comes up with these beautiful observations. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. Just how far can we take the statement that Rabbi Shimon wrote the Yesodos? Meaning, we say that Moshe Rabbeinu received the entire oral law on Har Sinai and really just got principles on which the whole thing is based.
Yeah.
Can one say truthfully or faithfully, I guess, would be better, that all of the principles of the Zohar come from Rabbi Shimon, but the statement...
I think that's very possible. I don't think you have to take an overly literal and mechanical definition of what authorship is. Just as Torah Shebaal Peh itself, Moshe got klolim, not all the applications. So here is what the Yanuka says, really a beautiful, beautiful word. The Pasuk says, well, we'll read it inside a little bit. This is in Perek Lamed Hei. Ala Pasuk, HaChacham Einav Verosha. This is a Pasuk in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech. A wise man has his eyes in his head. So the Yanuka asks an obvious question. V'chi bi'an asar eina debarnash. Where else will a person's eyes be? What? If you're wise, your eyes are in your head. If you're not wise, your eyes are somewhere else. What does it mean, your eyes are in your head? Ella, says the Zohar, says the Yanuka, kra hachihu vadai. This is the meaning of this pasuk. Disnan, we learned, actually it's interesting, we normally translate Tanan as we learned in a Mishnah. Here it's clear the Zohar does not use Tanan that way, because it's just quoting a statement in Aramaic, which is not in the Mishnah. So Tanan in the Zohar just means we learned. Disnan, lo yahach, right, there's no Mishnah like this, lo yahach barnash begiluya deresha. A person is not allowed to go bareheaded without a head covering, without a kippah. Arba amais, four amais. This is actually very interesting. I want to point out, there is no Gemara that makes such a statement, right? The Gemara does say, when you're maskir shem Hashem, your head should be covered. And then it mentions by Rav Nachman's mother that she would cover up the head of her son, that he should have Yiras Shamayim. In fact, Yarmulka comes from Yirats Malka, the reverence for Hashem. So in the Gemara, the concept that you cover up your head when you're not davening was only mentioned by a few individual people. There is no clear makor in the Gemara that there's any type of chiyuv of not going four amos with an uncovered head. So the actual makor is the Zohar. The Zohar states as a halacha that a barnash, a person, should not go begili reisha arba amos, four amos. And look at the reason the Zohar gives. My taima, dishechinta sharya al reisha. The divine presence surrounds the head of a person. The Shekhinah is above my head or surrounding my head. And therefore, v'chol chacham, a person who's wise, einohi umiloi bereisha. So listen to this. Chacham einav berosho. So einayim does not so much mean your physical eyes, but it means your concentration, what you're looking at. The chacham concentrates on what is above his head, namely the Shekhinah. Right? Hachacham einav birosha. His einayim, his focus, his attention is on that which is above his head, and that is the Shekhinah. And it goes on and says, inoy taman, his eyes are directed there. Linda, to know dahu nahora diadlik al reshe, the light that is lit above his head. Why is he thinking about that? It's terech lemishcha. Right? There's a light that's burning above my head, the light of the Shekhinah. But the light of the Shekhinah needs oil, like any other candle. I gotta supply it with fuel. Begin the gufa de barnash iupsila. The body of a person is like a wick. Unahora idlak liela. And a light is lit on top of the wick. His head is the wick, in the top of the wick. Ushlomo malka siva viyamar. And Shlomo HaMelech says in another pasuk, shemen al reishcha al yechzar. There's a pasuk that says, "B'chol zman you begadecha levanim, your clothing levanim, your clothing should always be clean or white." V'shemen al reishcha al yechzar. Now again, the simple meaning, if you didn't have any drushes at all, is he is referring literally to respectable chitzonius. Your clothes should be clean. And you have oil, they used to put oil on their head, like whatever it would be. But the Zohar says beautifully, Shemen al reishcha, your head, there's the light of the Shekhinah. Your body is a psila. But a psila can contain a light only if there's fuel. So therefore, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, be sure that you supply the oil to enable the light of the Shekhinah to be burning. And that is the meaning. Shemen al reishcha al yechzor. Dahu nahora de bereisha itztarech lemishcha. The light on top of your head needs the oil. What is the oil? Inon uvdoin tavoin. They are maisim tovim. They are the mitzvahs. V'alderech, and that is the meaning of the pasuk. The Chacham Einav Bereishai. The Chacham is focusing on his head. I gotta give that flame the fuel that it needs to continue, and the fuel that it needs to continue, because I am a Psila, the fuel that it needs to continue is the Maisim Tovim that I do. Okay, very, very beautiful, beautiful pshat. And that's Shemen al Reish al Yechzar. Be sure you have enough oil there. That's the Maisim Tovim. So Bekitzer, this is the Zayar in Balak, this is from the Yanuka. But Bekitzer, the Balatanya Zaymid, on the fact that you'll notice that the Shemen here is defined as Maisim Tovim. Here it doesn't say Talmud Torah. Even though Talmud Torah connected Kulam, and even though we said before, Ein la HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yaylamai El Adalad Amishel Halacha, here there's a diuk of Maisim Tovim. Also, he points out, you'll notice that the body is described as psila, the wick. Right? I'm the wick. The flame is burning on my head. The shemen that feeds the flame is the Maisim Tovim. So here, the Baal HaTanya goes back to an idea that he said a long, long time ago. And now he's marich on it some more. That is, true Dveikus Bashem does require self-nullification. On one hand, you still exist, but you have to nullify yourself. Unless you're mevatel yourself legamri to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not shayach to have a hiskashrus with him. Because if you're not mevatel yourself legamri, then it's not einoid milvad. He says, even a person's a tzaddik gomor, who loves Hashem and fears Hashem, if there's a sense, I am I, and I fear Hashem, you have a nivra and a bore, and you're an autonomous thing. You have to have total nullification, and only then are you able to receive the Shekhinah. So he says the following, when a person learns and davens, he's only using two of the levushin of his soul. He's using dibor and machshava. Right? Machshava in learning, primarily, and dibor in tefillah. But when I do mitzvos, I'm also using the rest of my physical body. So it turns out, when I connect myself to the Ratzon Hashem, he's saying, I am mevatel myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, meaning I'm nullifying my desire to Hashem's desire. And then, through that complete bitul of machshava, dibor, and maisa, I achieve Dveikus. And that is why it's called a pesila. Because a pesila generates flame by getting burnt up. You see, the pesila gets burnt up. So what you're doing is, you're nullifying your ego, you're nullifying your separateness. And you're doing so on all three levels of your expression, machshava, dibor, and maisa. And through that hisbatlus, that nullification of the ego, you're able to be a repository for the Shekhinah. And that's why it mentions Maisim Tovim, because Maisim Tovim even brings in the body. And what happens, therefore, is this. Although the body is controlled by the animal soul, you've now made even the animal soul a merkava for the Shekhinah. Now, the Baal HaTanya has a bit of a problem here. Well, wait a second here. How can the animal soul be a dwelling place for the Shekhinah? Isn't the definition of the Beinoni that the animal soul remains Ra? It remains Ra. It's not going to become elevated and holy. So the Baal HaTanya has some difficulty here, but he basically says, yes, it does remain Ra, but you've captured it, and you're at least temporarily using it. And he even uses the expression, Bal Karchach Aina Amen. This is actually taken from a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that every Friday night, there are two angels that come to your house. There's a bad angel, a Midas Adin angel, and Rachamim. And if the Shulchan is Oruch and prepared in honor of Shabbos, the Malach Tov says, Yehi Ratzon, that you should always have a bracha, Ubal Karcha, against his will, the evil angel has to answer Amen. So the Baal HaTanya says that same phrase, he uses the same phrase, that, yeah, you captured that animal soul, and you co-opted it into doing mitzvahs. So yes, you're not going to be able to change it, but at least temporarily, Baal Karchach Aina Amen. It's going along with the plan. And therefore, even the animal soul becomes the Merkava B'Shechina through the process of annihilation, meaning you're subsuming or subordinating your ego. That's the Psila to Which means it's a little different. In the case of a tzaddik, what's actually happening is that he says this at the very end of the sefer. In other words, in two different ways. In the terms of the tzaddik literally destroys the animal soul or turns it into kedusha. In the case of the beinoni, he doesn't destroy it or turn it in kedusha, but he uses it in avodas Hashem. And therefore, in a sense, at least temporarily, the animal soul becomes the merkava for the shechina. But this goes back to the idea that there has to be a bito hayeshus, in which you subordinate yourself to the achdus habayrei, and that has to be on all levels, machshava, dibur, and maisa. And that is why the most animalistic part of you is the physical body, and that's why the Maisim Tovim will provide that final... In other words, it's built on Torah and Tefillah, but then the Maisim Tovim will be the kesher to the physical of the animal world. Right, so this is the beautiful passage from the Inuk. Now, we haven't yet answered the first question, why are we created here? That we'll talk about. I mean, the basic idea was that... we're not here for the benefit of the godly soul. The godly soul was better off not here, but rather it's the Ratzon HaBayrei that the Shekhinah should be Niskala, that God's presence should be revealed in the darkest places. This is the famous statement that Chabad quotes a gazillion times, but actually it's from the Medrash. I mean, it's always quoted from the Tanya, but it is a Lashon of Chazal. Nisave HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire was to have dira b'tachtainim, to have a dwelling place in the lowest part of this universe. And therefore, the whole Aveda of the Beinoni is to live in the darkest places and bring holiness and goodness out of the dark. And the Shlomo HaMelech says, Yisrein ha'or min ha'cheshech, the greatness of the light is seen when it comes out of the darkness. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world of struggle, and that is the Avaita of the Beinoni. But it does require his spotless nullification of the ego. Ego is a big enemy, you know. Ego is, even in our mitzvahs, ego is what prevents us from truly serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we still have a sense of us. And that's always going to be a big, big machitza. Okay, so we'll stop here. Right.
So in other words, the first step of Baal Shem Tov, the Free Dicker Rebbe, Hachna'a, to submit your will. So Moshe is the most humble person to bring in Hashem totally into his
right,
being.
Right, right, right. Yeah, very, yeah, that's 100% correct. Okay.